Hello?
Good evening. Tonight, I'd like to speak to you about a superpower summit that took place after the First World War. No, not the Treaty of Versailles in 1919, actually much earlier. This week's Parsha describes what should probably be called the First World War. Five kings went to war against four kings. The four kings of Shinar, which is Babel, Iraq, Elossar, Greece, Elam, and Goyim, Rome, battled the five kings of the Canaanite cities of Sodom, Amorah, Admah, Tzvoyim, and Bela. The battle raged on for years. Finally, the four allied nations defeated the five. In the process, they conquered the city of Sodom and kidnapped Avram's nephew and brother-in-law, Lot. They put him on public display and looked forward to receiving a substantial ransom from his rich uncle. That was a mistake. Avram gathered his troops and, with divine assistance, routed the enemy and released the hostages. Some, or perhaps all, of the enemy kings were killed, and the Hebrew chieftain was now a man to be reckoned with. Now to the summit. Avram was about to meet with Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek, too, was a man to be reckoned with. He was better known as Shem ben Noach, the father of the Semitic nations, which would actually make him Avram's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. He was a Kohen. He was the king of Sholem. Sholem was later called Yireh by Avram, and today we know the city by its two names, Yireh Sholem, in other words, Yushalayim. Malki Tzedek was the king of Yushalayim, and as I said, he was a Kohen, and Malki Tzedek was more than a little bit interested in the conflict which had just taken place. After all, Kedor Laomer, the king of Elam, was one of his descendants. He'd been killed in the battle against Avram. So what would happen when these two leaders would meet? Would Malki Tzedek try to avenge the death of his descendants? Would Avram reprimand his elderly ancestor for raising such wicked descendants? The meeting went well. The Torah tells us, Malki Tzedek melech Sholem hotzi lechem v'yayin v'u kohen l'kel elyon. Malki Tzedek, the king of Sholem, brought out bread and wine, and he was a kohen to the all-high God, v'yabarchehu, and he blessed him, v'yomar, and he said, Baruch Avram l'kel elyon, koneh shemayim v'aretz, Avram should be blessed to the all-high God who created the heavens and earth, v'baruch kel elyon, and blessed is the All-High God, Hashem Igein Tzarecha B'yodecho, gave your enemies into your hands, V'yitin lo maser mikol, and Avram gave him a tenth of his possessions, because since he was a Kohen, he gave him tithes, he gave him his miser. So, we see Malki Tzedek bore no grudge against Avram. On the contrary, he welcomed him, he made a lechayim, he gave him wine. Now, Malki Tzedek's status as a Kohen is of interest. Most commentaries assume that he was a Kohen long before this event, which is why Avram gave him those tithes. The Chasam Sofer takes a very different position. He suggests that Malki Tzedek became a Kohen as a result of this meeting. The Gemara in Yoma tells us that if a person wants to pour wine onto the Mizbeach, see, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were karbanos, there were nesachim where wine was poured on the Mizbeach. So nowadays, obviously, we can't do that. So the Gemara says that if a person wants to be able to pour wine onto the Mizbeach as a sacrifice, he should give wine to Talmid HaChachamim. So this explains the Chasam Sofer is equivalent to pouring wine onto the Mizbeach. By giving wine to a Talmid HaChacham, it's like pouring wine on the Mizbeach. And so on the basis of this is how the Chasam Sofer reads the Pasuk. It says, Malki Tzedek melech Sholem hotzi lechem v'yayin. So Malki Tzedek, the king of Sholem, brought out bread and wine for this great Talmud Chacham, for this great Tzaddik Avram. And as a result, who Kohen l'kel yon, he became a Kohen. If a person brings offerings on the Mizbeach, he becomes a Kohen. So that's how he became a Kohen, by giving this wine to Avram Avinu. To be completely candid, I don't get it. The Chasam Sofer is suggesting that by giving Avram a drink of wine, Malki Tzedek was doing a holy act. By pouring him a drink? Didn't we read about Noach's downfall that came about through drinking wine just last week? And 2 weeks ago we read about Adam and Chava, their downfall, which according to some commentaries came through wine. According to some opinions, the Eitz Hadas that they weren't allowed to eat from was a grapevine. And I think no death and suffering has come through any fruit more than from wine. So you see, wine is a very dangerous thing. And next week's parasha, we're going to read about how Lot compromised himself after having too much to drink. So since when is wine consumption praiseworthy? How did Malki Tzedek the bartender become Malki Tzedek the Kohen? The answer, of course, is that it depends on what you do with your wine. Wine can be used to celebrate a simcha, or it can be used to drown one's sorrows. Some people lift a cup of wine and recite Hashem's praises at a Shabbos table. Others lift a cup of wine to become high. Some people drink to life. Others drink themselves to death. A table can be a mizbeach, an altar before Hashem. We can take food and drink and elevate it to a spiritual level. A dinner table should be a place for the family to gather and share the day's experiences. Too often, it's a place where we park ourselves long enough to wolf down enough calories to get us to the next meal. A Shabbos meal especially should be a spiritual experience. Zmiros, words of Torah, and yes, a few ounces of adult beverages in moderation can transform our meals into something holy, as long as what we're focusing on is the spiritual and the fact that we are celebrating what Hashem is doing for us and giving to us. This can become a truly holy experience. So that was how Malki Tzedek approached Avram, and he gave wine to this tzaddik. Now let's compare this to another person we meet in this week's parasha. Hagar is running away from Sarah, and a malach, an angel, appears to Hagar, and she tells him she's going to have a son, Yishmael. And the malach tells her, "Hu yeh pereh Adam." He is going to be a pereh Adam. Art Scroll translates pereh Adam as, quote, a wild ass of a man. Yado bakol v'yad kol bo. He'll be a thief, a warrior, a plunderer, hated by all. So Yishmael was, as we say, a wild man. But it's interesting, the wording that the Torah uses. It says, pere adam, which again is translated as a wild ass of a man. So pere is a wild thing, and adam is a person, is a man, a person. So the problem is that in Hebrew, the noun usually comes before the adjective. Good boy would be yeled tov, not tov yeled. A red ball would be kador adam, not adur kador, not Adam Kador. So if you want to call a person a wild man, if para means wild and Adam means man, instead of calling him a para Adam, the Malach should have said he's going to be an Adam para. What's the answer? There's no contradiction here, because Yishmael was not an Adam who was para. He was para who was an Adam. He was a wild animal in the form of a man. So the Adam is the adjective describing the para. He was a wild thing. He had no interest in matters spiritual. Yishmael's life was simply a matter of acquiring what he wanted and when he wanted it. He was an animal who looked like a man, as opposed to Avram, who was a man who lived like an angel. The difference is what we do in our day-to-day life, just surviving. If we eat, if we live in a way where to give ourselves the strength to serve Hashem, that becomes something holy. If it's just a question of satisfying our desires and our hunger, then we're no different than animals. We are mammals. We're physically not that different from the animals. Question is, what do we do and how do we live our lives? Let's try to focus on bringing holiness to our most mundane activities. If we do, then no activity is mundane. Let's treat our meals like offering on a mizbeach, and may we soon merit that as we remember Malki Tzedek, the first king of Yerushalayim, let's look forward to greeting the Melech HaMashiach in rebuilt Yerushalayim, so we can truly bring the Korbanos and the Nesachim on the mizbeach from Harav Yameinu. Thank you for listening, and have a good evening.